and the beauty of the presence of the Lord. There's a message here for all those who are present. We just pray that you will hear it. I know there is, because I believe that's what God tells me. Not because I studied and I'm ready to give you a message that I studied, but the Lord pointed a word to me. And we're going to begin this word in the 16th chapter of Romans. Romans 6:16. And know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Meaning to say, there are two forces in the world, the forces of evil and the forces of God. And anyone you obey, whether it be by misadventure, by mistake, by error, it doesn't matter. Any one of these forces you obey, you become his servant. He takes you prisoner. And it is his right according to the law of God. So there are some of us that are taken prey. We have problems. I wonder why we have these problems. It is because we have yielded sometime or the other down the road to the enemy, and he took us prisoner, and God is showing a way of escape in Jesus Christ. I want you to turn your Bibles again. Get back to Matthew 24. And the verse which says here, verse 23, then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. If anyone should say to you, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. And he went on further, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Praise be to God. Turn your Bibles again with me to Luke chapter 17. And we read from the 20th verse. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. You can't see it with your eyes. Neither shall they say, lo, here is Christ, or lo, there is Christ. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, here is Jesus standing before a group of his disciples, and he's telling them that he will return someday. And then, all of a sudden, he turned around and said, if you see Christ, if anybody say they see Christ, don't believe it. Isn't that peculiar? Jesus was telling them that he was coming again, and he was saying that there is a parousia, a second appearing, when Jesus Christ will appear for the second time. And then he turned and said to them, if anyone say that here is Christ, you know Christ came, I saw him over there, don't believe it. And Jesus, when he was giving this word, he was not giving it for just those people down there, but he was giving it for us. Are you fully convinced of that? If you're not fully convinced, just turn your Bible over to John chapter 17, and Jesus said that it was for us and not just for the disciples. John 17, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So Jesus was looking down at the word of God that he was being written at that time was going to be for us also. And so Jesus called Matthew and said, you come, Matthew, and be a scribe unto the kingdom of God. He called Luke, he called John, he called all these brothers. He said, you write, you be my writers, you be my recorders, you be my witnesses. And these brothers wrote as the Holy Ghost and gave them, and they witnessed with their own eyes, and other witnesses told them. They wrote it down in the Bible. So they knew that they were compiling a record for us. And if they knew they were compiling a record for us, then every word must be relevant. For if there is a word that would turn us off, you know, it would be terrible. If Jesus Christ is saying to his disciples and to us, if any man say Jesus Christ has come, don't believe it. Don't you think that that one needs to be considered? Because the story is that the coming of Jesus Christ that we are looking for now is within us. Amen. Don't worry. Don't worry about the other coming when he will appear before everybody. But the coming that is most relevant, most important to the world, is the one that the church is not paying much attention to, and it's the coming within us. If I hurt you, I'm hurting me more than I hurt you. If I say a word against you, I'm hurting the coming of Jesus within me more than I'm hurting you. And many of us are going to fail. After we have preached the gospel to others, we are going to fail, for Jesus will come and we don't even know. Now that sounds like strange doctrine. Well, listen, brethren, I want you to challenge me on every word I say. For every word I say, I see a scripture before me, which I am quoting. And I cannot go into all the scriptures. Therefore, I am going to ask you to ask me to get that scripture for what I say. Amen. Praise be to God. Because this is very important to us, and it is so important, it's life and death. And many of us are taking it lightly. Because we will do things in the quiet of our homes, and we will have bad thoughts in our mind, and yet we will come and give the impression that we are growing and we are doing so well in the Lord. You are not growing in the Lord unless you are overcoming inside here. Amen. Because here is the seat of Christ. Amen. The law says, I read it first in Romans, that if you submit to a devil, the devil is going to take charge of you. And I've seen many Christians submit to devils and get zapped by devils and can't understand why they're doing so and so, and they can't stop. Why? I hate to get into a temper, just like me. I hated getting into a temper because that was my undoing in the days of sin. I was just gone when I get in the temple, totally mad, had no control, run down the street, tear up the place. I couldn't help it, you see. And I knew I was being driven by a devil. And I tell you what happened. One day as a sinner, I went off to kill someone. And I missed. It didn't happen. And it left a mark on a piece of wood, on a post. And every time I come in and see the mark, it hurt me deep down here. And I said, if I don't want to do this, why am I doing it? And I said, the next time I get provoked, I'm not going to do anything. And believe you me, I got provoked and I stood up. And I had on a suit, was going out the afternoon. And my clothes began to wet. I just stood up there and controlled myself. I said, I'm not moving. I wouldn't move a muscle. And I wet the suit, complete wet, like it could be. It wrung out the water, dripping down for me. And I controlled myself and I did not fight that evening. You know what happened? The devil left me. The Bible said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. The devil left me and I was a sinner. I did not know that Jesus Christ saved. Now what says the Christian? Because God has given the Christian power over his own mind and his own emotions. And if you want to know whether you have power, you try it. You say, Jesus Christ, help me. The next day, of course, I'm putting days, you know, long years after now, when I get saved and I still have the devil. Because, you see, I'd gone back 2 years. I never had any fight, never done anything. But afterwards, I slipped right back into it. I'm a sinner. I got saved. And some Christians believe that when you get saved, that you have just overcome every devil. It's not true. There are some deep, dark corners that God leaves for you to overcome. God doesn't just take you away and let you off totally free. You are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That means all your sins are forgiven. But those demons that you used to play with, they are coming back. Your playmates. Your playmates are coming back. And they are going to tempt you to be one of the boys again, and you have to resist that. And so this day I fasted, I prayed, I cried to God. I wanted to be rid of this devil. I thought I was rid of the devil, and then I saw two men out there fighting, and my nerves begin to quicken, and I begin to feel funny, and I realized that it was a demon, that the men were affecting me. I had a weakness to fight. And I had no intention of fighting. I have nothing against these men. All I want to do is to see them stop beating this man, stop beating the other. I went in to try to stop them, and the demon jumped on. And remember now, I'm not mad, but my actions are going to be exactly like a mad person. All of a sudden, the man begin to force against me to get to hit the other. And I am there forcing against him. And the man, of course, I'm young and very strong. And the man, you know, really resisting me. And I just lost myself. I just slipped under him like this, and get him on top of my shoulder and ran with him. And slammed him down on a wall. And the wall shattered. And then I realized what I did. And I got him and ran. Because here am I, you know, an officer at the government on a farm, and I'm not supposed to do anything like this. But I'm not really mad. I'm just trying to make a little peace, you see. And then the devil jumped on me, and I didn't know what I did. Right away, I went into God. I said, oh, God, I thought I was free, but I'm not free. Because I'm going like this. I'm not mad, but still I'm going like that. That means the devil is still there. Brethren. So I start to fast and pray. And the day when I got the victory was the day when I was in office sitting down and a young man jumped up and belt. And when he hit me, the same old devil come back. I don't know if there's anybody here possessed with those kind of devils. But when the devil got hold of me, I could know exactly what to do with a man in a fight. I knew his thoughts. I knew exactly what to do with him. And I was just calmly working on. And the devil said, get the boy under his arm. Because he lifted up his arm like this to strike me. And his arm was exposed. And all I had to do was to get him under his arm. And I said, no. And I backed off. And he struck me and bam, bam, and he. And I just back off in the name of Jesus. I wouldn't touch him. And I am praying hard though because my very limbs want to fight. Yeah, I don't know, you ever had those problems? That your body get used to working according to the devil and you just have a hard time with your own body to keep going. And the body wanted to fight. And the man came and hit me. And there's one thing though, God made it right, you know. He made a man who was a real lightweight. Right, he was a lightweight as far as I'm concerned. He liked to fight. He was about my height, but he liked to fight, and he was a lightweight. He didn't have a very heavy punch, or else he would have hurt me. But he was driving me, and I was just saying, oh Jesus, you know, oh Jesus, I don't want to hit him. I don't want to hit him. I said, Lord Jesus, I'd hit him. And he keeps on backing me up, and eventually, when he had given me one across my chest, it tore off the skin from this side right over to that side. The blow was so hard, and there was nowhere else for me to back up, so I had to stand like this and bring my muscles up. He rolled right off and pitched on the wall. And he realized that he couldn't fight me, because if I was fighting him, he wouldn't have a chance. He realized it, and he went to his seat. And I said, praise God. You know what happened? A joy flooded me. Remember, you know, when I got in a temper, I couldn't get rid of it for 1-2 weeks. I would sit at my desk and just that way. The devil was just in me, quickening me, as it were. And I was laughing. I was so happy. I'd never been free before. I knew when the devil left. If you submit to the devil, he holds you. If you resist him, he flees from you. And this is as plain to me as ABC. Why am I talking about that? Because there is a realm of your soul that God wants. God wants it, because when you hear about the coming of Jesus, it means that Jesus is traveling, he's coming nearer, he's coming nearer, he's coming nearer. He started at Pentecost and he hasn't yet completed the journey. And when he completes the journey, that's what the Bible describes as the parousia, or the arrival. Let me draw something on the board for you, that you can understand what I am talking about. The coming of Jesus. Oh, this is not a board really, but I hope it works. Good. Now, this is God. God, heaven. God shining down his light. But God sent Jesus Christ, his son. Can you read it? It's readable. Maybe you around here would do better. Right? God sent Jesus Christ, his son. And Jesus Christ sent the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost could not enter my soul, so he came into my spirit. But the aim, the prize, the heaven of God is my soul. That is the prize. The soul. My soul is my mind, of course. And my emotions. And my will. And my desires. All this makes me. All this bunch of energy life is me. That's what makes me tick. My mind, the way I think, the way I respond emotionally, and so on. But this is where Jesus is coming. Because the scripture said Jesus Christ died to save the soul. So the part of you that Jesus Christ died to save is your soul. It's not your spirit. It's your soul. And your body, of course, will go with your soul. Wherever your soul goes, your body will go with it. So this is the coming of Jesus that we're talking about. And I tell you, you see, he's coming out of heaven. He came out of heaven already. He sent the Holy Ghost already. He has come as far as into our spirits already, but he wants to come into your soul in the same way that he's in your spirit. And so Jesus said to the brethren, he said, Lord, teach us how to pray. He said, pray, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. But we just read a while ago that the kingdom of God is within you. Amen. So you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, or in earth, in this realm here, in this realm, which is God's heaven, really. It is one of the heavens of God, for God going to live there. God lives in your soul, so it's God's resting place, God's heaven. You say, thy kingdom come in the earth realm as it is in this heaven realm. Just the way that God lives and rules and reigns and blesses his creatures in that realm. I want you, God, to be in my spirit, soul, and body, doing the same work that you're doing in heaven. That is the prayer. So God, tell us to pray that we get this realm taken by God, just as he has taken the other realm. See? Now, you want more proof. There's one scripture that I show you, that the kingdom of God is within you. But the theologians say that it means among you. You remember that? I don't know if any of you studied that far, but a lot of the churches say that it means among you. Now, the peculiarity about that piece of scripture is that the Greek word used for within there can also mean either within or among. And in the construction of the Greek sentence, it can mean both within or among. Now you have to decide whether it is within or it is among. And there's a very simple way to decide. Look at the promise of God. What is God's promise? Now, turn your Bibles backwards. The thing is in Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. And he says here, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, said the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, mean their hearts. You see, verse 33, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, Bible students, you will know that everywhere you see mentioned inward parts or belly, it is talking about soul. Remember that? Inward parts or belly. It's talking about soul. It's a Hebrew word that is used for soul. The Hebrew always believes that his soul is somewhere down in his belly where he feels. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, there are many more Old Testament scriptures for that. But if you take Hebrew, let's take Hebrews 8. And 8, start at the 8th verse, and see what Paul say about this scripture, because Paul quoted Jeremiah. That's the way you know that the writings of Paul and the other brothers were of God, because they only quoted scriptures, the Old Testament. You can find all the Old Testament scriptures quoted by these brothers. For finding fault, for if that first covenant verse 7, sorry. For finding fault with them, he said, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind. You see, he went a little, Paul took a step further to explain inward parts, which is a Hebrew word. He translated mind, which is soul. You see, in their mind, and write them in their hearts. That is the very center of the whole function of your being. Your spirit, soul, and body, there's a center that make you tick. And that's called your heart. You see, spiritually speaking, your heart is the center of your emotions, your will, your desires, your spirit, your body, everything. When all of them come together and you are a functioning person, and the decisions that you make, that's where your heart is. So, he's speaking of a spiritual realm within you when he speaks of your heart. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. This is the means by which God is going to make you the people of God, by coming inside of you. Now, if you notice the process, God the Almighty, God all-powerful, had too much power, too much energy, too much life to just come and settle down in you. You die. As I said to the brethren, I said, that would just blow all your circuits. If God just came down into you, bam, all your wires would burn up. It's just like putting too much voltage on the wire. So God came in Jesus Christ. God break down himself into a seed, plant the seed into Mary, mix it with humanity, and come out, hallelujah, as a man, in order to get into us. But how can a natural man get into us? That's why Jesus had to die. Jesus couldn't. He said, it is expedient that I should go. For if I go not, the Comforter will not come. See? Jesus had to die. He could not get into us. He had to die to get into us. So when he died, he came back in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is God, you know. And anywhere you see the Holy Ghost, you see God. You see the Holy Ghost outside, but inside of him is Jesus. And inside of Jesus is the Father. Hallelujah. See, so it is a beautiful plan that God had. So God filter himself or dilute himself. Good words? You understand? Too strong. So he diluted himself, came down through Jesus. Jesus was still too strong. He diluted himself in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit come. He couldn't enter your soul. He had to enter your spirit. Because the scripture said, God meet us spirit to spirit. His spirit, what? Bear witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. So then, as God meets us spirit to spirit, now here you are with the Holy Ghost in your spirit, and you have to open your soul. And do you know you receive as much of God as you allow? So some people have a lot of God and some have very little. And they're both filled with, baptized with the Holy Ghost. See? So you can open to God, and you cannot open to God. You can listen to as much rock music after you get saved as you want, and let it disfigure your mind and disturb your soul and your body, and it feed satanic influences into you. That's what rock music does, you know, because of course it's made of the devil, and this is this is the business of the rock music devil. This is his purpose. You see what I mean? So here we are. You can feed the mind on things of the world out there, and he said he will keep them what? in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me. God Almighty is going to keep you in peace because your mind stayed on him. It's not because you are better than the other person why you're going to be kept in peace. But the problem is that the mind feeds the soul. And the soul is feeding upon trash, and the soul will die, even though all the power of Almighty God is in the spirit. See? So, we come right back to the Psalm 24. It says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Open up the gates and let the King of Glory come in. Who opened the gate? You? Yes. Your gate, your lock, you alone can open it. Amen. But there are some other things that open you up. Alcohol, drugs. You know, you take alcohol, and there's a barrier that God puts in every human being, whether you're saved or not. You have a certain amount of light around you, a certain amount of power to prevent any devil. No devil can come and touch one soul unless you give way to him. Of course, his plan is to deceive you and to make you believe that you are having something when you're not having that thing. You're having a devil. Amen. And so the moment you take marijuana or any form of drugs or liquor, to a point, liquor, you have to take a certain amount, it destroys your responsibility. Something go wrong in your mind, in your brain, and that responsibility, you get kind of careless. And you might have a dream or a vision that something comes and you want to put it into your mouth, and when you do that, it's a devil you take. Because you accept it, you want it, you desire it. But he deceived you and you took it. You see, this is part of the battle. If you are deceived, if the enemy can set up a ruse and to catch you, you are caught. That's all he cares. He doesn't care whether it's fair or unfair. You see? And so we are saying that this is what liquor, anything that makes you not conscious, not as strong as you ought to be. You see, I tell you what, even when you go under the doctor's anesthetic in the hospital and you become unconscious, you are exposed to devils unless God is over there taking care of you. See what I'm saying? And we are talking about the coming of Jesus. This is the realm in which Jesus is coming. Don't let anyone deceive you. Anyhow you have a bad feeling towards another human being, anyhow you hurt somebody else, anyhow you have fights and quarrels, it's hurting the seat of God inside of you. See? So if you have these problems, just cry to God. Ask him to help you, deliver you out of this, the hand of this spirit. And I tell you what, brethren, tonight I'm going to just ask you, if you have such a spirit, come right up here and just say, I have a spirit of lust, I have a spirit of anger, I have a spirit of fear, and we just cast that spirit out. He cannot stay. He must go. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ we're talking about. See, amen. Anybody who can't help himself needs help. And the church was made to help people, to get deliverance from all the works of the devil. And the Bible said, if you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. If you demand that demons come out, they must come out. Hallelujah. And this is the throne of God we are talking about. That's the seat of Christ, the soul. So we see then, I'm going to give you a scripture, another scripture. I was saying, don't you just take one scripture. That scripture say the kingdom of God is within you. And we want to see if it can be corroborated by some other scripture. Let us look at Ephesians chapter 1. And this one even give you the time when this fullness of Christ is coming in the earth. The time, you see, there are many scriptures that give you time. And we need to understand that we are now in this time. Yes, 10, no. We're going down from 10. It said, in whom ye also trusted. After that ye heard, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted. After that he heard the word of salvation. In whom also after that ye believe you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise unto his glory. There is a scripture which says Christ coming in us, that there will be fire on earth until Christ come in us. This scripture, I yes, that's it, chapter 1. Yes, it says here, verse 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believed, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. In other words, this scripture is saying that at the same time when there is destruction on the earth, that the sons of God will receive the fullness of Christ within them. See, that's what it's saying. Praise be to God. So there is no doubt in my mind that Jesus Christ, when he speaks of his second coming, that his second coming will be in two parts, or you can call it second and third. Amen. Although that's not theological, I had never heard anybody talking about the third coming, but that they do teach it, you know, in the church. The theologians say that he's coming in the air, and that we're going up to meet him in the air, and that we're going to stay up there for 7 years while he deal with the earth, and then we come down again, then Jesus come down again. So they do see that there is an interim event, you see, and they put it through the mill of the intellect, and it comes out like that. But if you don't put it through the mill of the intellect, and you just put it what God say, and believe what God say, you'll find that a picture will unfold before you that Jesus Christ is coming as a thief in the night, silently, quietly, without the world knowing, and without part of the church knowing. He said, two shall be in the bed, and one will be taken, and the other one left. That means something is going to happen to one, and the other one won't even know. Left same place in the bed. I show you something. I'm getting to that, but I'm going to give you one more scripture before I get to the thief in the night business. You go to the 14th chapter of John's Gospel. And Judas, the brother of Jesus, in verse 22, ask a question. Judas wanted to know, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Here we are, riding along in a bus, riding along in a plane, and Jesus Christ is going to come to some of the people in the plane, and in that close quarter, the other people won't know. is it going to happen? Now, according to the rapture theory, when Jesus comes, the pilot's going to fly off and leave the plane to crash. You ever heard that theory? And the car's going to run off the road, and there's going to be debt upon top of debt and a lot of destruction, because Jesus will take away the drivers and the pilots, and people will disappear out of the airplane and all that sort of thing. But I'm giving you a prettier picture, a cleaner picture. It says here that this brother asked Jesus a question. You just tell us how it's going to happen. And in verse 23, Jesus answered, said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. That's obedience. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode within him. Not a matter of coming to him and take him away. We are coming to him to stay in him. You see, there was a day, and I'm going to tell you the event, exactly what it will look like, how it will feel. There was a day in the life of Jesus Christ when he went down to the pool to be baptized by John. That was the day when he took up his ministry. He went into the pool, and the Bible said, heaven opened, and the Holy Ghost came down and lighted upon him visibly, that people could see. And he was filled and overflowing with the power of the Spirit. And he got up out of there, and he ran into the wilderness. The scriptures say the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And if he was in the spirit, like how I know people get in the spirit, I believe he just got up and shouted and ran. And when you see his disciples didn't follow him, it must have been something extraordinary. Okay? Hallelujah. Amen. See, he ran. Now, it's good. It's all right, brethren, to put godly imagination to scripture. You know what I mean. While you're not going to imagine with the carnal mind, is okay. He ran into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. And from that day, he took up his ministry. And if you watch his life, things were changed. One day he said, none of you guys can take my life from me. He said, when I am ready, I lay down my life, and I'm going to take it up again. See? So he knew, even in his natural physical body, that he had immortality. He could not be killed. You hear that? And this is the place that you are going to reach one day. That God is saying we will get to that point of development when Jesus Christ descend. Or should I be more specific? Instead of saying Jesus Christ, just say Christ. Because you know who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is a man just like you. And as a man, he can't come into a man. But the part of him that is Christ can come into you. So it is Christ that is coming into us in his fullness. Now you say, brother, says, of course I've got this before, so I'll just tell you, you know. Oh, I don't believe that doctrine. We have Christ. And God says we are perfect. We have Christ. Well, one guy says, if you think I'm perfect, just ask my wife. And it may sound like a joke, but it's not. Because, man. Hallelujah. Here we are. My emotions are not up to standard. They don't percolate like how God would act. I don't sometimes feel like how God should feel. I feel wretched like a man, you see. And sometimes you have to fight hard not to cuss, you know. Isn't that so? Yeah, you get upset. That's your emotions. You deal with it. Deal with it until it comes to the point where it does not even respond like that anymore. But this is where Jesus is going to come. This is the seat of Christ. And Christ says, I must have my church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, or any such thing. So you see, you said, and Lord, hopeless me. Where will I ever get to that point? Okay. You're not going to take yourself there. You're just going to deliver up your emotions and your thinking to God in such a way that He's going to deal with it. And He will deal with it and deal with it, and you get hurt and you get hurt and you get hurt until you don't even have any more feelings. And you don't know when you get there, but one day suddenly, wow, Jesus will descend and finish the work. Do you understand? So when we talk about the man-child, we are talking about Jesus descending into the human soul and making it completely whole. Whatever is left to be done. Praise God. So, this is what makes you know that you're not perfect. And nobody need teach you a doctrine that you're perfect, because I've lost brethren who went off to the super Christians. You see what I mean? Yes, we have lost brethren from our groups who went off to the super Christians, and they'll have nothing more to do with that. As a matter of fact, right now we're undergoing some trouble in one group, and the people are saying that we don't even need to hear you anymore. Say, we are perfect in Christ, and we don't need to hear you. He said, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is part is done away with. You see, we don't have to take communion anymore. See, we don't have to read Bible anymore. You see how the devil can get in and fool us? Now, who could deceive me that I am perfect? You can't tell, you couldn't deceive me, for I am not a fool to believe that I am perfect when I know me. Wretched man, look at your own self inside. You know, let me tell you something, brethren. There are secret thoughts in human beings that no matter how near a wife is to a husband, she never finds out. Because he's ashamed of them. He's ashamed of those thoughts, and he would never tell anyone. And there are thoughts in every human being like that. Thoughts that you finally fight and fight, and sometimes you put it down and you have it under your foot and you never forget it, and others come. Amen. But you always have to be on top of the things that your mind would think. And so, when it comes to the mind, that's a wild horse. Your mind is a wild thing that just fly off, and you have to sometimes rope it in back and tie it up and say, you sit down here. Sit. Oh, yeah. And we need not deceive ourselves that we have a perfect mind. For we know what the mind of Christ is like. The Bible said that Christ was subject to the Father. That every thought of His was just for the Father, and to the Father, and about the Father, and about the things of God, the righteous things. He did not have a carnal mind. And we better recognize our carnal mind before we can deal with it and submit. Every time you find yourself thinking wrong, you call upon God. And that will make you call upon God 50 or 100 times to the day. Keep calling. You see what I mean? Because every time, this is why God allows you to have a carnal mind and allow the Holy Ghost to show you the wrong things that your mind thinks. So, there's no need for us to go about and say we are perfect, we have made it. Jesus Christ is in the soul, or at least we hope He is. Some of us have Christ in our souls and some don't. You know that. Now that's going to hit you a little bit, but it's no problem. Because we are all going on into perfection. And some of us, Christ is in the spirit, and he's working his way into the soul. And he's taking more and more and more and more and more of soul. Some of us, our minds are more advanced than our emotions. Some of us are like kids emotionally. And mentally we might be adults. And you'd be surprised to know the lack of development in these areas of your being, both your mind, emotion, will, and your desire. Some of us have desires just like a little kid. You know, I've sat down and watched men and women, and they are kids, only they are bigger, which is a little more trouble. But the thing, the kid would want a little thing. A man wants a big thing. Somebody wants an airplane, and all he wants to have is fun. You see, you just check on people. 3/4 of their lives are bent upon having fun. Whatever they do, they must have fun at doing it. They will enjoy it and have fun. And, well, if you are a fun seeker and fun loving, it shows that you're somewhat undeveloped. Because if you take the little child and he plays and he must have something playing with, and that is the nature of a child, and we find this nature in us. See, so don't worry to hide it. It's there, and we want to get Christ to fill that vacuum. See, and so the Bible says, whatsoever you desire, ask. Now we talk about the faith doctrine. I know many of us believe in the faith doctrine, and the faith doctrine teaches principles of faith, and some of us have tried it, and we see it work. We get things from the faith doctrine. But oh, praise God! Did it ever occur to you that the reason God gave you faith was to ask him for things of the kingdom? Huh? Why don't you go and claim something in the kingdom and put your hands on it and march around it and claim it and get it? That's what we want. We want to see somebody claim a mind like Christ. We want to see somebody claim emotions that are matured for Jesus. Will, the will of God, the will of the Father to be in me. And these are the higher realms of faith. Don't let us keep on claiming trash around us, of Cadillac and a piece of land and whatnot, and wife and husbands and everything like that. These things we need, and we don't need to expend so much energy for them. We only have to say, God, send me so and so over here, and we believe it and go our ways and get it. You see, it's not such a big deal. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not such a big deal to get some money from God for faith, by faith. It's not such a big deal, and the only reason God will let you have it is that your faith be practiced. For he wants you to begin to claim the higher things of God. And the higher things, Jesus, I would like to be like you. I'm so far from being like you. And then, you know, you begin to have a lot of troubles. I tell you the truth. If you ask God to make you like him, he's going to start the job on you. And sometimes it's going to really juggle you, because God knows the medicine you need to make you like him. I am saying we need to pay more attention to the inner man, because Jesus Christ is coming to reign and rule within us. You remember the scripture said, and the Lord shall rule out of Zion. The Lord shall rule out of Zion. Where is Zion? Zion is in Jerusalem for sure. And let me tell you, the scripture says that Jerusalem is the people of God. It's not a little city down in the Middle East where the Jews live. You see, that's only the type of the true Jerusalem. Amen. But I saw the true Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, and she was like a bride adorned for her husband. What's that? The church. And you see, Zion is the center of Jerusalem, the power of Jerusalem. Those people who become the elite of God, those people who God can trust, that's the Zion of God. So let me tell you, brethren, when God said the law shall come forth from Zion, and God shall reign and rule over the nations from out of Zion, you better believe it, that Jesus Christ is going to come down here, and you and he and all those who are part of this company of overcomers will reign and rule on this earth. It will not be President Reagan anymore in the White House. Oh yes, we will take the White House away from the sinners. Well, you know, it said he's born again, so but we'll even take it away from the born again man and we will give it to the saints of the Most High God, and the throne of Russia and all those missiles and everything, we'll abolish them, because this is in the book, the word of Almighty God. This is the will of God for us. And the beautiful part about it is that 20 years ago, this didn't have the power it has tonight. That this that is facing us within this decade, within this 10 years period. And I don't want to fool you, we're going to have 3.5 years of the reign and the rule of the beast. 3.5 years of the reign and the rule of the beast. We are going to have a war before the world, going to have to be cleaned up. Then we're going to have the battle of Armageddon after the beast is put down by the saints. You see what I mean? So we just barely have enough time to do what we're doing right now. See, it, time is down on us. Many Christians, prophets and others are saying that between now and 1984, that will be it. The music will start. And I mean, it's going to be music, and we'll be dancing. It's a lot of sorrow and pain and suffering there are going to be. But out of it all will come the great victory of the ages, when the triumph of those who overcome will be made known to the whole world, and God will redeem his people from earth. But we are prisoners. You don't believe it? Turn your Bibles around to Romans. Somebody with a strong voice, read for me Romans 8 from verse 19 to verse 23.
For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body.
Yes, praise God. You see, our bodies, this physical body, is subject to pain, subject to suffering, subject to bondage under all kinds of satanic influences. And blessed be the God Almighty, this is the promise, that we shall be delivered from the bondage of this corruption. So we have hope. These people out here who don't have any hope, only God knows how they live. I want to tell every one of them that Jesus saves. And I wish that you people would all become evangelists and tell people of the saving grace of God. People who you work around, people who you move around, no matter what they say, what they do to you, you must not be responsible for their death. For death and destruction is coming in this country, and people are going to be just carnage. and those who don't know Jesus Christ, it will be very, very sad for them. And God is saying to us as a people, begin to assert yourselves and to exert yourselves and to let people know that Jesus saves. Because this is your duty. This, you are part of God's business, part of God's movement, and this is our sworn duty, regardless of whether we are in time people or not. Because I know that some of us feel that we're so high in the spirit that we don't want to go out on the street and tell people Jesus saved. But I'm telling you, brethren, you're going to be sorry for it before Jesus if you let that man beside you go to hell and you never gave him the chance of hearing Jesus. I want you just to let us stop here, because you know, I could give you 20, 30 more scriptures. I don't think it would do you any more good than what I have already said, that the Spirit of God is pointing us to our insides. Let us begin to check on our attitude, our behavior, our ways, the things that are within us that need to be eradicated, and let us begin to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in this earth as it is in heaven, O God. And let us throw ourselves on God and say, God, help me, for I am not what I ought to be. Praise be to God. God bless you. We can have a few minutes of questions. Yes.
I think I heard you say correctly that the spirit saves us. Holy Spirit
saves
our, comes into our spirit. He's saving our soul.
Yes.
So when we are taking our minds,
yes,
our mind is being changed. And when this is accomplished, this is becoming
this is
not visible to others?
No. Right. Perfect.
How can it not be visible to others?
Well, I did not read it. But let me go on. I said I was going into it, and I just felt that it would be, well, it's best for it to come out this way anyhow. If you turn to Matthew chapter 24, and you get from verse 38, you see, as it was in the time of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. See, as it was in the time of Noah, so shall it be in the coming. Now, it says here, for as in the days of Noah, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Two, verse 40, two shall be in the field, the one shall be taking the other left. Two women grinding at the mill, one taking the other left. Verse 42, listen, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. You know, and he went on to speak about the secret coming, the thief in the night coming. You see, and what God is saying, well, let me just explain this point that she asked the question, is that here we are tonight, and Jesus Christ is going to come, and he will come in you in all his fullness, and the person beside you would not know unless that person is in the spirit. For the kingdom of God is within us. In other words, the coming that we are talking about tonight, the first part of the coming of Jesus, is the coming of Christ in his fullness. Tonight you long for his fullness, because really you don't like your mind behavior, you don't like your emotions, you don't like anything in you that is not of God. So you really want that fullness. Well, one day it's going to happen just like this. Yes.
That coming is what we're talking about in Thessalonians, the trump of God and the descending upon us.
No. That coming, the Thessalonians coming, is a resurrection. Is the resurrection. when Jesus Christ descends in person. That's the other coming.
That's the kind of third coming?
Yes. Final arrival. In other words, that's his epiphany. In the Anglican Church, the Episcopalian, Catholic, you know, they have the parousia and the epiphany. Yes.
The first coming is without observation, a thief in the night. One person and not the other.
Yes.
Observation only to the spirit of people.
Yes.
The trump of God coming would be the vector of Jesus.
The seventh trumpet. Yes. Yes.
Him.
Yes. So, do you understand how it could be, or you want me to explain a little more?
No, I'm just kind of thinking out loud.
Well, no, our sister there asked, you didn't understand how one person could receive.
Well, I couldn't understand it either, because if it was a trump of God, there'd be a lot of noise.
I can understand that it was trump. I just couldn't understand that other people wouldn't
see it. Yeah. Well, watch it. I'm going to show you where somebody had the fullness of God. Yeah, the scripture said, to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Only to them that look. But let's come back on your question. Jesus Christ had the fullness of God in him. And those men looked at him and said, you are Beelzebub. There is our example. But his disciples knew, because he turned to them and said, whom do men say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you know what he said? He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. He said, God alone could make you see Christ. See? So the people of God will see Christ in you, and they will know for sure. Because, you know, in the darkness and the distress, those who have received that fullness, which is the what we call the 144,000 or the first fruit company, they will turn around and minister to the other people and strengthen them. So the other people will know too, you see, that these people have really got something more, something we need. Because in the days when you will neither buy nor sell, or be able to buy or sell, I mean, you can't travel. We couldn't travel on an airplane come here, because if we don't have that mark, we have no money, no exchange. God's going to supernaturally send a person right in the midst. You will know then that this is God. Yes, brother.
Let's add to this the 51st and 52nd verse of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15, 16.
Yes.
Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed.
In a moment,
in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
Well, yes. What's the question? That's the last coming. That's what we call the third coming. Because you see, as our brother said, there's going to be a lot of noise.
Epiphany.
Yes, that's the epiphany when he shows forth himself to everybody. You see, if you notice, when Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't show himself to anybody, only Christians. The Bible said, and no sinner saw him. Only Christians he revealed himself to. The reason is because when you raise, you're going to show yourself to the whole world. This will be it. He didn't want to do anything like that. He just wanted to manifest himself to the Christians to strengthen them. Because that is the will of God, that the great epiphany or the explosion of all things will happen when you live in Sanford. And you people know you. Everybody around know you. And they saw you resurrect. You die and you resurrect. There is no way that they can ever say it's not true. And you see, it will be so widespread that in every district and corner of the earth, people will be raised. And people will know them. And that will convince the world and bring them to their knees. You see? So this is a different thing from the resurrection of Jesus when he secretly went to his brethren. This is an open thing, open resurrection. The Bible said the two witnesses, their bodies will be put out on show. And it said it will be in the papers. It will be all over. They will have a holiday like a Christmas, and they'll send gifts one to another. We caught them. We're finished with them. And then all of a sudden they'll rise before everybody. After you advertise them like that, they'll rise up before everybody. And they're going to take over the world. So you can understand what the situation will be. Yes.
At Jesus' resurrection, it says that some came out of the graves.
Yes.
And that's so vague and so little said on it. Who came out of the grave?
Well, you see, God didn't want us to take it as a doctrine. But the truth is that there were some people in those graves who were just ready for Jesus and waiting for him. And when they received Christ, they received so much of Christ with such a power that they had the power to take up their bodies. In other words, when you reach that stage, you're going to take up your body too. And if you're alive, you change. Right. The resurrection is in us right now. The life of God is in us. And the resurrection that God's talking about is not coming from outside to zap us with a power. It's coming from inside. And when Jesus went down to hell, preached to the spirits in prison, some mighty men were down there. I mean, David was there. Solomon was there. You know, all these mighty men of God were there waiting for Jesus. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And Satan said, I got to hold them. And the only man that Satan couldn't hold was Moses. Because Moses tricked him. Oh, yes. You see, God called Moses. Remember, Moses was the only man that could offer a sacrifice for himself. When you offer a sacrifice, you are free from sin that moment. You understand? Yes.
But it's the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwelling you, he that raised up Christ from the dead, shall also put in your mortal bodies by his spirit
that dwelleth in you. You see. So, the resurrection is from within. See, Moses then was told of God, said, tomorrow at this time you come up into the mountain and there you shall die. And so Moses take his little lamb with him and up into the mountain he went. We heard nothing more of it, but that angel start fighting over his body. The only way Moses could have appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration with Elijah, it's the only way he could, is if he had escaped Satan. His body was not there with the devil. The devil wasn't holding him as a prisoner. See, he took his lamb, he made his sacrifice, and he died right there on the sacrifice. And the scripture said that the angels took his body. His body. See, so next thing he turned up on the Mount of Transfiguration. He really tricked them. Yes. Well, you see, God had ordained that one man out of every dispensation should come forth untouched by death. It's a testimony of the word of God. That so under the dispensation of innocence, when Enoch, he threw the power of God by faith, the Bible said. By faith. Believe God. I believe I can step out of this life with my body and go into heaven. And he did it. Right? And the next man was the prophets. Of the prophets was Elijah. Of the law was Moses. And of grace was Christ Jesus and all those who came out with him. You see. Praise God. You see, these are only laws that are functioning. And if we ever got a hold onto some of these laws, I'll just leave, you know, like. And I think God has hidden away from us the power of the faith that Enoch operated in. You know, all the faith teachers that I hear, none of them ever begin to teach the faith that Enoch had to walk off into immortality. And I believe I know why. God just don't allow us to.
We're to vanity.
Yes, not willing. By reason of him that subject us in hope. See, God put some things over us that keep us down here. Yeah. If you don't leave. and leave the world to the sinners. Which is what he doesn't want. He said, oh God, I pray that you take them not out of the world. He bound us right there, you know. Jesus prayed with fire. Said, pray, Lord God, that you don't take them out of the world. Just take the world out of them. Or else some of those guys are taken off. Praise God. Amen.
What's the scripture? You said there was a scripture that said Jesus came to save your soul. What's the scripture for that?
Many scriptures, eh? Yes, he said Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, which is your soul. And the blood that make it atonement for the soul. It's in Leviticus, eh?
Leviticus?
Yes, I have it right here. I could get it for you. It is the blood that make it atonement for the soul. And actually down in Genesis, Jesus said, a soul for a soul. That's the law. One soul could be given for the life of another soul. Leviticus, it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. I got it right here. Yes, it's Leviticus 17 and verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that make it an atonement for the soul. This is the blood of Jesus. And it's in Romans 5:11. Yes, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now, he wanted the scripture, he says, the soul, you see. But there are many, many scriptures that go along and say the blood make atonement for the soul. Praise God. Amen. Well, it is a good time to end. We thank God for the word tonight, and we just trust that it bring life to us. We hope that you continue to feed on the life that is in Christ, for I'm sure we are in the wedding feast, and God says every morning you must pray, give us this day our daily bread. You know, so many times we have been praying this prayer carnally. I think God just shut his eyes when we talk about give us this day our daily bread, and we mean food, natural food. God is saying to you, if you know to pray for your natural bread, then pray for your spiritual bread. If you know to have faith for your natural bread, then have some faith for the spiritual. See, this is what God wants. God isn't just going to hold you down in natural things. They only give you the natural to show you the principles of the spirit. God bless you in Jesus.
and being made in him, conformable to his death, that I may know him. Wonderful Lord, that
thank you for the word that you've given us, Lord, this evening. Lord, we ask your blessing to be with us and names as they leave us now.
Yes, Lord.
Give them safe traveling, Lord. Refreshing and strengthening, Lord, to speak forth your word and to do the work that you've set them. Lord, just give you thanks for bringing them here again. And Lord, for your presence with us in this day. And Lord, we do pray, we do hearken to what you're saying. This is all our heart. We look to you now for the accomplishment of what you set us. Pray for a safe trip for all those who are traveling tonight.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank you
for everything.
Yea, the one who has hindered you from having a closer walk with the Lord is here this night, and he walks around in your shoes. Brothers and sisters, I would prevail upon you to just throw off doubt, unbelief, and the likes of that, and to press into God for all that he has for you, and to become the kingdom people, yea, the temple people that he would have you to be, that his mantle might fall upon thee, and that you could thereby and therefore set back the enemy in his plans, you see, and the likes of that, that the glory of God might come forth. Yea, yes. Prepare a highway for your God to return.
Yes.
Amen. Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
The words, Lord, that you have spoken tonight, Lord, stick with us, Lord. Father, teach us how to examine that word, Lord, to meditate upon that word, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord, that we may not become unbalanced, Lord, because of the knowledge of it. But Lord, that we, hallelujah, let it sink in. Hallelujah, Father, use it for your glory, Lord. Father, that we use it to get closer to you, Lord. That, Lord, you show us how to use the knowledge, Lord. Hallelujah, and the spiritual guidance that you give us.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Make us, Lord, those real saints, Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. The prepared ones, Lord, ready for marriage.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah, yeah. Father. Just give us, hallelujah, strength, our wisdom, Lord, our strength and our courage, Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. To reach out, Lord, and to reach out of ourselves and to reach out to you and to reach out for the truth, Lord, no matter how much it hurts, Lord. Hallelujah, Father. Give us that.